Hi, I'm John Edmiston, your lecturer in MP537, Internet Evangelism and Cyber Missions. And in this brief audio, I'd like to set some stimulating discussion in motion around the idea of theology, technology, and the Internet. The first theological concept I'd like to consider is the concept of the Word becoming flesh. In the New Testament, we see a very concrete example of the Word becoming flesh. That is Jesus, of course, who is the Word become flesh. And in the gospel encounters, they are often close personal encounters between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, or Jesus and Nicodemus, or Jesus and a leper. And these are close personal encounters of a relationship, where some sort of relationship is established between the communicator, in this case Jesus or an apostle, and the person receiving the word of God. There is a sense in which that person can even be touched and transformed by Jesus Christ. On the internet, there is no such close communication. No one is looking one another in their eye unless you're using a video link. The word seems to be disembodied in cyberspace. It is not incarnated in a particular human being, in their face, their clothes, their eyes, in their culture. Even the gender of the person may not be obvious on the internet. So there is a lack of physical and cultural incarnation of the word. That raises the question, does encountering the word of God in cyberspace, is it a genuine encounter with the word of God? What's involved in an encounter with the word of God? And let's start back in the book of Genesis. God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. God speaks the universe into being. And so at this point, there is no conscious human recipient. Humans don't come along to day six. But God speaks his word and something happens. There is light, or there is a firmament. So God is speaking to creation, and his word is operating on creation to bring creation into being. So creation, apart from human consciousness, can still receive and be transformed by the word of God. And we see this in the New Testament as well, when Jesus speaks to the fig tree. The fig tree is not a conscious human being, yet the fig tree shrivels up and dies because the word of God has transformative power apart from a human recipient. Also, when Jesus speaks to the storm on Lake Galilee, the storm obviously is not a human recipient, and yet it responds and obeys to the word of Jesus, who is the Creator incarnate. Also, Jesus says to his disciples, passing on some of this authority to us, "Speak to this mountain and tell it to move into the sea." The disciples are told to speak the word of God with authority to this inanimate object, with some expectation that it would move or behave, whatever that verse means. So there is a sense in which all creation is responsive to the word of God. Now, what do we mean by the word of God? Is the word of God, "Let there be light," spoken at creation, the same as the word of God as written in a Bible and cut and pasted onto an internet page? Will cutting and pasting Genesis chapter 1 from your Bible onto an internet page create even one photon of light? It probably will not. So how is the word of God on that internet page different from the powerful transformative word of God in creation, where it's spoken by Jesus to a leper? And how does the word of God come off that page and transform someone who is searching, who wants to encounter the word of God? Now, I don't want to get into the theology of Karl Barth or into any discussions about the inspiration of the word. What I am saying is that the word can be genuinely encountered in cyberspace, and that people do report that they are born again, that they are saved, that something has happened as they've encountered the word of God, and that they have not just been informed, they have been transformed by the power of the word of God present on a web page, a chat room, a video, or an audio file. People have reported great peace flooding into them. They have reported a sense of being saved, of their sins being forgiven as a result of what has happened on the internet. So something is happening, and something is happening that is an encounter with the gospel, an encounter with the word of God, and those results often tend to remain. Some permanent change has come into human life as a result of internet ministry. And we need to ask, how is internet ministry an encounter with the word of God? And is it a fully incarnate encounter, or is it a disembodied encounter? And how much of the power of the word of God can we expect to see in cyberspace? And how much of our encountering the word of God is information? How much is inspiration? How much is transformation? How much are these things involved in our considerations of ministry in cyberspace? The next question I'd like to raise, and which will be raised again next week in the ecclesiology discussion, is, can you have genuine Christian community? Can you have an ecclesia in the cyberspace? And what does it mean to be together around the Word of God, or together around the Spirit of God? Is a good e-group better than a bad church? Can you have a deeper discussion with someone online than you can perhaps in a cold and distant church? I'm not saying that your church is cold and distant, but if you can imagine a church which there is very little fellowship, and yet it is still somehow called a genuine church and is regarded as such, what about a gathering of people on the internet who share deeply with one another their thoughts and their dreams, and who genuinely pray for one another? Is such a community also a church? But we'll explore that in more detail next week. So we have to raise the whole question of community. Another theological question we need to look at is the question of God and technology. Are they opposites? Is technology alienating us from God, or is it bringing us to God? Can God use technology? Is God a socio-technological being, as I say in that first link? And how is God relating to technology? Is he a highly technological being, an advanced being, some super alien, for instance? I'm not saying that God is an extraterrestrial. That's obviously not a Christian point of view. But is God a God of extremely sophisticated technology? Or is God a God who is without technology and simply operates being to being in an extremely personal and deep way? And if God does adopt technology, if the wheels of Ezekiel are any indication, in which the Spirit dwells in the wheels and at which God's throne is atop some huge technological device, if God does use technology as it seems in Scripture, if he is content to at times put his presence in a Ark of the Covenant type device as well, if God works through manufactured artifacts of his choosing, not that those artifacts can conjure up his presence in any way, they're of his choosing, how is God related to technology, and how should we be related to technology? Should we abandon it and flee for the hills and live in communes and live extremely simply? Should we take a view like that, which has a certain appeal to it? Or do we take the opposite view, that the more technologically advanced we get, the more like God we get, and so somehow being technologically advanced is a way of moving into the image of God? There can be an element of the satanic, Satan's invitation to us to be like God in such a idea of that the more technological we are, the more godlike we are. Seems like we are godlike if we live in love, and if we live in love, we will use technology to solve some of our problems and to help our fellow man. There's a lot of aspects here, and due to file size, I have to wind up very soon, but I'm asking you to reflect deeply on the question, can there be a genuine theology of cyberspace? Try and post some of your ideas in connecting, and I'd love to hear from you on this issue. Very little written, but let's ponder how God works on the internet. Blessings on you. Hope you enjoy this course.